Jordana here. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. Paul is still on his cruise, enjoying his cruise. We are actively laughing at him as he did not know that he was booking a gay cruise when he went on the cruise. So he's having a great time with lots of new experiences, and we wish him well. We know he's absolutely having a great time. Join me in studio is Tim Lammers.
Thank you.
So happy to have you here.
Thank you, Jordana. Of course, we had a lot of fun in the fall, and I'm back. I'm sorry it took so long, but it is a lot of fun.
And I imagine you're busier now because it's officially award season. Is that true?
It is busier for me now because I actually am an awards voter. The Critics' Choice Awards. Which will be on this weekend on the CW, if I can plug that.
So how does that work? Do you have to watch every single thing on television?
Well, it's actually for films, thankfully.
Oh, okay. Well,
I could be a member. I'm a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association. I was also offered membership with the Broadcast Television Journalists Association.
Oh, my goodness.
But I just simply don't have enough time for that. I mean, I review streaming TV for you and Paul, obviously. But no, this is film. So either we get screeners, or we get digital screeners who can watch online. But ideally, they want us to be in the theater to see these films. So they're trying to book, individual screenings for us. So there have been times where I've sat in a 400 seat theater by myself.
Really?
So a studio will, get that film in front of my eyeballs.
Okay. So how many films do you think you watch in 1 year?
Oh, boy. It's hard to say. I mean, let's just be really, really conservative and go 2 to 3 films a week.
Okay.
So,
but
at the same time, I mean, during award season, there have been times where I've screened as many 3, 4, 5 films a day. But that's when they got me. If they can capture me and stick me in a theater and book some movies back to back to back to back, that's when that sort of thing happens. But again, they want to make it as convenient as possible and send you screeners. And again, I see films a lot of times a couple months before the public does.
Very cool. He's got a very cool job. We're going to hear more about that in just 1 minute. And Tim is going to be with me for the whole hour. So we're going to do his television streaming. We do that on Tuesdays. That's coming up at 3:20. We're going to talk about Ricky Gervais and his performance, if you want to call it that, performance at the Golden Globes. I love Ricky Gervais, so I love his humor and I guess his meanness because, I don't know, it makes me laugh when people are mean to celebrities sometimes. Maybe that makes me mean.
I agree with you, Jordana. I do.
And I promise we're going to get all of that in. But we need to do an update on a breaking story that we were covering all throughout the show yesterday. Now, Tim, let me just back it up. And if you're just tuning in now and didn't get a chance to hear us yesterday, David has a mouse living in his car. This is a huge problem.
It is.
And I received an extraordinary amount of tweets trying to figure out how to get this mouse out. Most people say, do the trap with peanut butter, the mouse will be done. Don't do poison because then the mouse will eat it and it'll die and it'll stink up your car, which would be a huge problem. Other people said the mouse has already had babies. David, you're screwed. I say you must sell the car immediately because you can't have a mouse in your car.
No.
So just sell it for parts, be done. So yesterday when David came to work, David Josephson, our producer, of course, he said that the mouse was still in the car that he knew of. He left it with a trap in there and he came to work. We are now getting an update on David and the mouse.
Breaking news.
This is breaking news.
The idea I did not like the most yet from yesterday was the snake. Somebody said I should put a snake in my car. I did not do that.
Don't do that.
But here's what I did. I walked through the streets of downtown.
Okay.
I got to my car last night. Nothing. Trap is still set with peanut butter. It's even the brand of trap, like Jaws or something, that several callers told us we should use. It's plastic and fancy.
I thought you were going to say brand of peanut butter.
The brand of peanut. Well, maybe that's my problem.
What's best, choosy mouse killers. Choose
there you go.
So no mouse. Drove home. Didn't see the mouse. Parked the car. I decided to move the mouse trap overnight to a different side of the vehicle. I went out again this morning to check. No mouse. So now I'm in a situation where that did not work. It's time to try something else. So I had a few people tell me that it maybe could be in the engine compartment because it's warm there and that's where they build that.
Sure.
So I popped the hood. I looked there. Now, my lovely wife has been updating many of her friends who are very intrigued. Some of them agree with you that we should sell the car.
You're done.
We've not done that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But one of her friends said that, a mouse in her car one time years ago built a nest like near where the spare tire is underneath the trunk of the vehicle. So I thought, okay, I better check there.
That's a good place.
Open up the trunk. I take out the panel, and lo and behold, next to the spare tire is this like little nest of insulation from the car and little rubber pieces and Kleenex that it had torn apart from the main compartment of the vehicle. So I go, well, there's its home. I proceed to take out the tire. I unscrew the tire and I lift up the tire. And there, staring me down,
no,
is the mouse.
No.
But here's the problem.
Just looking at you, yep, defiant, didn't even run away?
Nope. Sounds like a showdown to me.
Just staring me down.
It's a standoff.
Staring me down right in the eyes. Here's the problem, Tim and Jordana. I had no further plan. Like, my plan was to go find where the mouse was. I had found where the mouse was. That was the end of the playbook. So me and the mouse stood there looking at each other for about 30 seconds. And then the mouse thought, I better go somewhere before this guy figures out something to do. And, of course, the mice scurried away into some tiny hole in my vehicle.
So, update, is the mouse is still loose in your car?
Here's the update now. I reset said trap with peanut butter, like, in my wheel well where the wheel used to be, right next to where it crawled in. And it's been there since this morning. And my lovely wife is at home with this vehicle in our garage, and she's going to join us right now, and we're going to see if I caught the mouse.
You made her go look in the car, did you? Katrina, are you on the phone with us?
Hi, guys.
Okay, not only might you have to sell the car, you might have to divorce your husband if he's telling you to go find the mouse.
Yeah, I might just light the whole car on fire at this point.
Okay, so walk us through this. You're currently in the garage with said car.
Yes, I'm about to go into the garage.
Oh, no.
Everything has been taken out of our car. So the wheel is out. Okay. All of our emergency supplies are out.
Yeah, there's like a pile of things that used to be in the trunk sitting outside. Yep. So
this is now a live
this
stream.
Car because I'm terrified.
I don't blame you. So we are on a live mouse hunt with Katrina.
I just opened the trunk.
Okay, you know, you got to lift that panel. It's loose, but you got to lift it up.
Scared.
And then underneath there, hopefully, there's a dead mouse.
I'm so nervous.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Yes. What is it? What is it?
We caught the mouse.
Yeah.
Really? It's dead?
Yes, it's dead. The trap, it went into, and it ate all the peanut butter. And it is R.I.P.
Oh, snap.
I was scared what I was going to find out there. Oh, my gosh.
So is it messy, Katrina, or is the mouse still contained?
He is contained in the wheel well.
Okay.
Yep.
No, you do not have to touch this. Your husband will come home and take care of this. Do not touch it, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I'm the project manager on this, so I will not be touching that.
She is a good woman. She is a good woman. Katrina, you took that bullet for us going to check.
Yeah.
Can you please snap a picture now and send it to
I'll
us?
Send that. Exactly. Whew, I can drive my car again. What a relief. I would like to tell you also that Dave did not believe that the mouse existed. So when I screamed in the car when we were driving home, he asked me if the mouse had a bow tie and
you're
if I was just...
You're the worst.
I didn't see the mouse until this morning when I had the standoff with it.
You are the worst. Oh, you are so lucky she's still married to you, David. Katrina, thank you for really, you took one for the show. Now we have a conclusion. The mouse is dead and David will clean it up later.
Hooray.
I can sense your relief. Please go inside the house, hang out with baby Winter, and we will anxiously be awaiting, I can't believe I'm saying this, but pictures of the dead mouse.
Great. Coming up for you.
You're the best. Thanks, Katrina.
Have a good one.
See you, babe.
Now, right here, this is quality radio, right there.
Yeah, there you go. Well, did you notice how everybody, kind of when she said, oh, man, everybody jump. There was such excitement when she captured them. Well, we didn't know it quite yet. But I think we all knew what she was going to say.
I feel so much better. David, I was worried that there were going to be mouse babies in your car.
I was too.
Oh,
look, we have mice problems in our house right now, so I feel your pain.
What are you going to do about it? Because I
well,
maintain
we
you
keep
call
setting traps, but
control.
You were talking about mice babies. You know,
honey,
there's got to be some sort of multiplying going on here or something,
honey,
because we don't seem to capture them entirely.
You call my friend Stacey O'Reilly over at Plunkett's Pest Control.
There you go.
And you get that
there
job done. That's it. Snap. Okay, we will be waiting for the picture. We will tweet it out when we get back. Ricky Gervais, streaming on TV. What I Think About Messiah. It's all next with Tim Lammers. Jordana and Tim Lammers. Tim is joining me so graciously for the whole hour. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Jordana. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun already. Mouse tails.
I know we caught the mouse. The ding dong. The mouse is dead. David and I will be tweeting out pictures. But I watched the Golden Globes on Sunday night, as I'm sure you did.
Oh, yes.
And I watched them. I'm just a spectator. So I'm watching for the fashion and some of the Ricky Gervais jokes.
Right.
And he opened saying that this is the last time that he is going to host these awards, and he got in some pretty good zingers.
I think that he left a crater in Hollywood after this. This isn't one of those stories that just the next day and it died. This is going to be lingering around Hollywood for quite some time, I'm afraid.
So I want to hear more of your thoughts on that. But first, if you didn't watch, here are some of Ricky Gervais's cratering.
In this room are some of the most important TV and film executives in the world. People from every background, but they all have one thing in common. They're all terrified of Ronan Farrow. It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and f*** off, okay? The world got to see James Corden as a fat He was also in the movie Cats, but no one saw that.
Well, he's right about Cats. No one did see that. And I heard something even got edited out, a very crass remark he made about Judi Dench in Cats.
Yeah. It just goes to show you that nobody is off limits. I mean, Dame Judi Dench, I hope that she forgives him. But my God, it was pretty dirty.
So when you say crater, you mean in a bad way? I did not hear any uproarious laughter from
the crowd. This is going to be interesting now because so many of these people in the industry, they just had to sit there and take it.
Yep.
But the ones that want the ratings, the Golden Globe, the Hollywood Foreign Press, NBC, they want ratings. They want to charge more for the advertisers next year. This is all about money for them, and they're going to do whatever they can to get people to watch this show. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about this is 6 percentage points down in viewership than last year, and I'm thinking, why?
Why?
How possibly? Well, then I thought, 8 minutes of Ricky Gervais at the top, 3 hours of blathering by Hollywood elites in the middle, and then one final zinger with Ricky Gervais and Harvey Weinstein at the end.
Yep.
So I would like to see the ratings hour by hour to see how much they eroded after that blistering opening. It was incredible. I have never seen anything like it.
I think he's funny.
I do too.
And to watch him skewer the celebrities and say things like, shame on you about Harvey Weinstein, and you all know you're friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Some of them were.
Right.
Like, to see them called out like that, I don't know that that's a bad thing.
Now, I don't think it's a bad thing either. It's something that a lot of people think, if not say. Mm-hmm. They might say it on Twitter, but, you know, there are so many opinions on Twitter. They get lost, that, and the other thing. Here you have their undivided attention, and they have to sit and take it. The best they could do is get up and leave, but if they're going to do that, then they're really going to look bad.
Bunch of crybabies. Yeah. Now, he's not hosting again. Is that his choice, or has the Globes asked somebody else?
Well, again, it's about the money, I would imagine. It's about the paycheck. It's whether I think that he has set the standard for all award shows from now on, which they will be judged on this one performance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how boring the Oscars are going to be this year?
I know. It's all going to be love and
going to be a love fest, and it really kind of exposes these award shows for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
The self-congratulatory, pat each other on the back sort of thing. Ricky was having none of that, even though he's done this before.
Mm-hmm.
You have to admit, this was by far the most brutal he's ever been.
Blistering, it certainly was.
Yeah.
I still love Ricky, though.
Okay, I do, too.
Let's move on, because I want to get to the two streaming shows, and one of them I'm watching, Messiah, and loving it. And I do want to watch The Two Popes. I just haven't gotten a chance. I haven't gotten around to that yet. First, let's play a little bit of the first one, Messiah.
He's come out of nowhere, and we don't know who he is.
What do we know about him?
He's leading desperate people.
So this is a cult?
We don't know who he's associated with. He could be creating an army. Or he could be leading them to their death.
Tim Lammers' streaming reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim, I'm loving Messiah.
Well, it's interesting. Before our movie review segment last Friday, you and Paul were talking about it. And this was on my list, and I thought, well, do I need to start this now? Let's save this for Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you and Paul both had the opportunity to see at least, I don't know, how many episodes have you seen?
I'm probably five, six episodes in.
Yeah, it's a grabber right from the very beginning.
This guy appears out of nowhere in Syria.
Right.
And he has... He withstands a sandstorm, so people think that's a miracle that he has survived a sandstorm. So they think that's a miracle. So he's something special. So they follow him into the desert, where he then disappears and leaves them in the desert to die.
Right.
And then he appears in America, and seems to withstand a tornado.
Right.
So people think he's something special. So he's, I guess, performing. Maybe not. I won't give anything away. But at some point, he performs miracles.
Really. Yes. Or what could be perceived as miracles. Because you have to remember now, this is the age of social media.
Yes.
So there are going to be doubters. The biggest doubter right now is a CIA agent played by Michelle Monaghan.
She's great.
Who is terrific. She was Tom Cruise's wife in the Mission Impossible movies, if you need a frame of reference. But she is terrific. So she's looking into this as, okay, is he trying to convert people or is he trying to con people? And there really aren't any clear answers. And I have to tell you, this actor, and I don't know his name. I know his name. I don't want to try pronouncing it. Mm-hmm. He is so incredibly charismatic. He makes you believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, the acting in this piece is phenomenal. I should say series, because it's a 10-episode series.
Is he famous, the actor?
He will be now.
I've been seeing his face before, but he is incredibly handsome and charismatic. You want to believe
he doesn't do a lot. He doesn't do a lot. I mean, a lot of his interactions are quiet. It's quiet bits of dialogue between other actors.
Right.
And it's just incredible. And again, I guess he's like you say, charismatic. He has such of a presence about him. Mm-hmm. So that is what is so engaging about this series. Obviously, I'm not done. I'm so curious to see where this thing is going to go.
Me too, because are we a bunch of idiots for believing that somebody could be a messiah among us today, a common, when things that he's done maybe could be explained? I have no idea. Or is he the second coming?
Well, that's exactly it, and that's what Michelle Monaghan's character is trying to prove. Maybe. She comes up with logical explanations how he can come from Jerusalem to Texas all of a sudden.
Overnight.
And comes up with a way of doing that. As far as the miracles, they kind of look at that with some hesitancy and say, well, it could have been done this way. And so he performs what is perceived to be miracles. But again, they don't just show this on videotape. You actually see people, these things unfolding in front of you. So
That's
it gives you the idea that this might be happening.
It's fascinating.
Right.
I definitely encourage people to watch it.
Right.
The other one that I want to get to see is called The Two Popes. It's a movie. And we hope to play you some sound, but it's not working. Technical problems here at CCO Radio, but that's okay. So tell us about The Two Popes, because it did win a couple awards last year.
Well, at the Golden Globes, it was certainly nominated and the butt of a joke by Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
But it's an original Netflix film that they want to push for the Oscars, which meant that it played in New York and L.A. for a weekend or whatever to qualify, but then was released on Netflix, much to the chagrin of the Motion Picture Association of America. Mm-hmm. But it is a fascinating look at the unlikely friendship between Pope Francis and Pope Benedict. And it really gives you an inside look at as to how the Pope is chosen, how Francis was actually in contention to become pontiff back when Pope Benedict was, and the divide between the two, because they're polar opposites, and how they came together when Pope Francis wanted to resign his cardinalship and leave and just become a priest, and Pope Benedict talked him into staying.
Are we seeing a trend in religious or supernatural movies and shows?
Well, I certainly think there's an audience for that. And you'll find that once in a while with independent films that are faith-based, mm-hmm. okay, that don't really have a big advertising budget. The sort of films you'll see Kevin Sorbo in, for example, Minnesota's own Kevin Sorbo, God's Not Dead, was a huge hit on a very minuscule budget. I think that there's definitely an audience out there for that. I think there's an audience here for The Two Popes. I think it's a really fascinating look, again, at these two people that couldn't be more than polar opposites here. But how they come together and they listen to each other. And it's the sort of thing where you look and it's like, I really wish our politicians would behave this way.
Well, maybe they're doing something.
Maybe they're trying to send a signal that, yes, we may have our differences, but we can come together and do what's good for the good of the people.
I love it. So the picks this week are Messiah and The Two Popes. Can't wait to see The Two Popes. Loving Messiah. Tim, his streaming reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. You know, I had Mike Bryant on the show yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. Yes, absolutely.
He's great. So smart.
Oh, yeah.
So
and a fun movie goer. In fact, we're going to screen something tonight. So.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Tim's going to stay with me for the next half hour, and we're going to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow next. Tim interviewed her. Find out what she's up to next. Welcome back. It's 3:31. Jordana Green here, chilling with Tim Lammers for the hour. Thanks for hanging with me.
Again, thank you very much. It's a lot of fun, and I'm glad the weather cooperated, but it is windy out there, isn't
it?
Yeah, oh, it's crazy.
I've been out for a while. I've kind of been in meetings all day, but that's okay. It's all good. So Tim and I have covered a lot of ground. We did two streaming shows. We did Two Popes. We did Messiah. We talked about Ricky Gervais. If you've missed any of our conversation, you can hear it on radio.com. Go rewind. You can always listen to the show. You can stream it live wherever you are. We're also on Facebook Live. So get on Facebook Live and say hi to us and make comments, and we will try to respond to them. Another story that I was following streaming-wise, The Goop Lab is going to be a new show on – he's already shaking his head. It's going to be a new show on Netflix. Now, I guess most women are fascinated and really troubled by Goop as a lifestyle website. If you don't know, Goop is the website started by Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mm-hmm.
After the whole acting thing, I guess she just got into – what she calls holistic therapies and treatments. And I've actually done weird news segments about this mm-hmm. because at some point she wanted you to steam clean your uterus. And I think my headline for the weird news was Gwyneth Paltrow wants you to zero res your uterus. And she just comes up with these crazy notions. And she's actually gotten in trouble. In fact, her company had to pay $145 million to the Orange County DA's office for questionable health claims in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff on her website, it's just weird. She suggests that women sleep with a $66 jade stone edge clenched in their vagina. She endorses $55, this is the vaginal steaming treatments, both, by the way, not recommended by gynecologists. So don't try this at home. But how she got into this, nobody will know, but I think that's what the new show is about. It's called The Goop Lab. Do we have a little sound from the trailer? Let's hear that.
What we try to do with Goop is to explore ideas that may seem out there or too scary.
Are you guys ready to go out in the field and make a ruckus?
Just another day at the office.
I had an exorcism.
Oh, wow.
I went through years of therapy in about 5 hours.
I started to feel like a panic attack coming on.
She knew something that my husband didn't even know.
Okay, again, living up to the weirdness claim. Tim, you've actually met Gwyneth.
I did. It was the late 90s, before she was really famous. It was for a movie called Sliding Doors, which is a brilliant
movie, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, it's about lives intersecting at a subway train. If she makes the train, we follow her path there. If she doesn't, we follow that path. So it's an interesting movie about fate. But anyway, yeah, she was really quiet. It was around the time that she was dating Brad Pitt.
Uh-huh.
I got the sense talking with her that I was going to barrage her with questions about Brad Pitt, which was, I had no interest. I never had any interest in that sort of thing. But she was very nice and very kind. And when, you know, the public really started to come to criticize her, I thought, well, you know, yeah, granted, it's been 6, 7, 8 minutes with her. But, you know, you think you get a good enough sense. She seems like a decent enough person. Mm-hmm. But it certainly seems these days that she loves the attention. She loves the money. I think she's a brilliant businesswoman, because
clearly,
obviously, her claims of what works to improve your health are so outlandish, they get people like you and I talking about them.
Her company is said to be worth $250 million.
Yeah. Why act? But she makes comments like, oh, I was in that Avengers movie, I can't remember. And that just irritates fans and irritates people and stuff like that. But yeah, clearly she's very busy. But again, why do that? But I would imagine that she's treated like a queen on the sets of films. Uh-huh. And come in and do your 10 minutes and leave, whatever it is. But again, where she comes up with this, I have the feeling, though, because in that trailer, is she really that involved? Because for this show, she seems to be a part of all of it, but the day-to-day stuff, she probably isn't.
Well, have you seen any bits of the show yet?
No, I have not. Okay. I have not. You know what, though? I do have a preview account with Netflix, mm-hmm. so I'm going to try to check this out and get you the review as soon as possible, because this thing looks like a train wreck.
It looks like a train wreck, but like a train wreck, you almost have to watch.
You have to watch, and guess what? You're going to be entertained by it.
Right. I'm going to be a little grossed out, but where do you come up with this stuff? If people really believe it, you kind of want to watch.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Dave played that clip. I mean, that's just giving you a little smidgen of what. I mean, you're looking at this trailer, and what, and to get the visual of what they're actually doing is insane. And by the way, another great way to make money, because she has that on YouTube, probably has millions of views, and is making advertising money with that, too. Again, I think she's brilliant, and she's obviously willing to withstand the shots that are being everything thrown at her.
Yeah. She, you're right about, she's figured out the special sauce of how to make money.
Well, in a way,
it's
kind of like the Kardashian thing.
Yeah.
Although I will give her credit. I mean, at least she earned her money and earned her stature by, you know, doing something
acting.
Being famous for being famous.
Yeah. No. She did act. It's really I'll be a sucker and I'll watch it, too, because I want to say it.
Hey, it's mm-hmm. entertainment. Mm-hmm. That's what it should always be about. But the sad part about this is how many people are going to see what she's doing and take that for gospel?
Well,
a sucker born every minute.
That's the whole point. Some people really believe it. So gynecologists have to come out and say, please don't do this to your lady parts. And the county, Orange County in California, you know, she had to pay them $145 million.
Well, and that goes to show you how much money they're making, too. It's unbelievable. And again, a train wreck in the making, at least. I can't judge it entirely yet, but once I see it, we're going to talk about it.
How Gwyneth built her empire is not necessarily something that you learn. In college, she seemed to have the special sauce of celebrity and, you know, fancifulness and great marketing. Not always something you learn in college. But colleges, and we're shifting topics here because I want to ask you about this. Colleges, Tim, are now offering classes in adulting. How to cope with the basic skills of life. Things like how to do laundry, how to repair a hole in plasterboard, how to draw up a personal budget. Now, you have 4 children.
Mm-hmm.
Are any in college right now?
Right now, I have my youngest son who is here with us in studio.
Right.
And yes,
one
of the things, yes, he is.
Why is he not in school right now?
Well, because he's going back next week. So, laundry was one of those lessons, you know. I can't imagine him coming to me and saying, I'm going to take a class where I'm going to pay to learn how to fold socks and to do laundry.
See, this is an interesting school of thought, because I said to David before the show, I said, well, obviously these kids need to learn this stuff before they get out of college into the real world.
Right, right.
So it's great that they're learning it in college.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no way I'm paying for that, because you have another interesting perspective.
Well,
on
yeah, my wife who joined us earlier and told us about the dead mouse,
yes.
She's considering going back to school and changing her career. And we are literally just night, we were looking at the finances behind that. And It is tough. School is very expensive. It's going to be very tough for us to pay for it. We will do it. We'll make a way. But I am not paying a dime for my wife or my kids or anybody else to go to school to learn something that your mom should have taught you in fourth grade.
I was talking with my son about this prior to the show, and I thought, imagine how much they're going to try to charge these kids for books.
Can you own a laundry machine? See, this is so we're in this quandary, though, of we don't want to pay for somebody to teach us how to plaster a hole, because you could go to a workshop at the Home Depot and they could share that information with you, probably for free, or maybe a $15 sign up fee for materials. But then if they don't ever learn how to do this, you have a generation of kids. And the reason these classes exist is because we have a generation of kids who may not know how to make pasta without making it mushy. Sure. Because nobody taught them this. And you might be asking, all right, so why did this happen? How did we get here that kids don't know how to do some basic electrical work or paint a wall or whatever it is? And they say they blame the parents, because parents valued education above all else. No, you do your homework. I'm not going to take you out and teach you all of this because you have schoolwork or you have to do your extracurricular activities so you get into a good college. So I'm not saying parents were malicious in any of this. They were thinking they had their best intent of their child to busy them with other activities to get into college or to educate the mind instead of educate with the basics of life, thinking, oh, laundry's natural or learning how to cook is natural. I mean, I think my own mother is guilty of this. I remember when she worked, she was a teacher, and she would go in the kitchen and make dinner and shoo us away. Go watch TV. Probably because she didn't want us around. She didn't want us bothering her. Mm-hmm. But she would make dinner. She'd, give us a carrot or something if we were hungry. Go watch TV or go do your homework. And I never learned to cook at her, at her hip. So I didn't, now I call her up. What's the recipe for that? And she'll give it to me. But that is a skill that I did not learn because she was either too busy or wanted us to be out of her way.
Well, I have to admit, I probably learned how to cook as working in a restaurant when I was in 10th grade, starting that way. But yeah, it never would have occurred to me to sit in the kitchen with my mom to do that sort of thing.
So are there skills that you actively teach your kids?
I don't know. It seems to me that my son, it was something that we kind of went over before he went. So certainly the opportunity is there. And look, it's something you can learn in 10 minutes. I mean, do you need a quarter or a semester in college to learn this sort of stuff?
I don't know.
they're covering a wide variety of things. But again, it just seems so egregious. Now, Dave, I have to tell you quickly, you could defray your college costs by starting a college course on how to catch mice in a car.
See, there you go. You know what? I think he's absolutely right, by the way.
It's just like, where do you come up with these ideas?
Well, I'll tell you, it's necessary. There were two girls at, was it University of California, Berkeley, who started a class. She said their first class was offered in the spring semester of 2019. They had 30 spots that filled so quickly, 70 students had to be turned away. And they said there are multiple sessions, but they still have to turn down 100 applicants who want to sign up for the semester's 12-week class. They learned things. They said last year, this is an example, they had a recruiter from Lyft prep students about job searches. They had an accountant discuss filing taxes. So I guess if you combine all of the life skills, maybe you could teach 12 lessons. Maybe you could do a once-a-week kind of class. But I don't necessarily think it was a bad thing, because if the parents either didn't know or didn't teach the kids how to do stuff, at least we'll have people who know how to be in the world once they graduate college.
Well, I guess it goes back to when we were talking about films before. There's an audience for it.
There are people that
could use this sort of course. I just, again, imagining just not even taking the course, but buying books.
Although,
the expense that goes into it and the student loans you have to take out in order to do it.
It's a quandary, but I still don't know how to properly fold a fitted sheet. If anybody figures that out, I would appreciate a lesson in how to properly fold it. Do you know how, David?
Yeah, you just ball that thing up and throw it in the back of the closet.
There's life skills right there.
There you go.
Your mother will be devastated when she hears that. All right, listen, we got to take a quick break. Tim Lammers and I are chatting. We're going to talk movies. What do we have to look forward to in the year to come in movies with Tim? 350, Jordana Green, Tim Lammers filling in for Paul Douglas, who's still on his cruise. Thanks for chilling with me.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Big shoes to fill there, though, I'm just a dopey movie guy.
Stop it now. We've had so much fun. If you've missed any conversations that Tim and I have had, you can always check it out at radio.com. because we talked about streaming shows. Sure. We talked about the Golden Globes. We talked about adulting classes. Let's
Gwyneth Paltrow.
And Goop and steaming your uterus. We talked about quite a bit. Let's talk movies. Now, going into the next year, do you have a preview for us? And is anything exciting coming up?
Well, you know, generally, because of the award shows and the big sporting events, January and February, they tend to be slower months for films. So really, the first film that I think I'm really looking forward to is in March. It is Mulan, the live-action version of Mulan. If you have not seen the trailer, it looks spectacular. The big difference, of course, is that there isn't any music. You'll hear hints of the theme, reflections, stuff like that.
Good music.
But fans were upset about that. They're also upset about the fact that Mushu, the Eddie Murphy dragon, that little tiny thing that talked in the original animated film, is not part of this film. So it looks to be a lot more serious.
Really
hard
to find a dragon to train.
Yeah. But you know what? It just looks so epic. It really does. It looks big, bold, beautiful, and such of a wonderful tale in itself. I mean, the story of Fa Mulan. So I do really look forward to that one. A Quiet Place, that's a scary movie that I will be talking about. Early Distant Warning, or whatever you want to say there.
Making a two?
Yes, they have made. Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant ending to the first one. I think they probably could have ended it there, and you think that they have the problem solved, but they do not.
Oh.
So Emily Blunt returning in that one. John Krasinski, of course, directing this one. Of course, if you love James Bond, I always love James Bond stuff, especially with Daniel Craig. No Time to Die coming in April. In May, we have you think your Black Widow days with Scarlett Johansson are over with after the end of Avengers Endgame? No, they have a prequel coming out for that character film. That film is coming out in May as well. The one I'm really looking forward to the most is mainly because I'm so proud of this guy, a Minnesota guy by the name of Pete Docter. He directed Monsters, Inc. He did Up. He did In and Out. And his next Pixar film is called Soul, starring Jamie Foxx. And that one's coming out in June. And then, of course, Wonder Woman.
Wait,
and
what's Soul about?
Solo. Yeah. That's about a jazz musician who leaves this earth because of an accident. His soul comes back and has found its way with a young girl, and he's going to try to teach the ways. He was this brilliant jazz musician, that never got a chance to really shine. There's not a lot of details out about this one yet, so that's about all I know at this point.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah.
Kind of, and
you know, Pete Docter is a brilliant storyteller, and again, born and raised here in Minnesota. And of course, Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot coming back.
I'm very excited. I love Gal Gadot.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a great Wonder Woman.
Set in 1984. It's part of the title, Wonder Woman 1984. And we talked about this trailer, Top Gun Maverick. At the end of June. So I just compiled this stuff just the first half of the year. I'm sure there's a lot more exciting stuff after that.
So wait a minute. Let me go back to Wonder Woman. Is Wonder Woman timeless? Does she never die?
Right. I mean, you know, look, she's got superpowers. She doesn't appear to age at all. At least, you know, maybe in the comics. See, I'm a comic book movie fan. Uh-huh. I'm not a comic book fan. So I'm sure within the Wonder Woman canon, maybe she does age. Okay. Maybe there is something that can defy her powers. Who knows? But at least in this one, she looks like she stepped out of the World War I era and is now in 1984. And we don't know how, but Chris Pine is in this film. Probably some sort of figment of her imagination or something. But obviously, he was a big part of that first film success. So they brought him back for this one. And Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live is one of the villains in this film.
Oh. Yes. So she plays a serious villain or a silly villain?
Yeah. Well, she's
hilarious.
I hope that they imbue some of this with comedy.
Okay.
I think you get that in Marvel films. You don't necessarily get it in DC, but I think that because of Shazam, they have allowed for that sort of thing. So hopefully we're going to see some comedy from Kristen Wiig in this one.
I love her. Well, that is fantastic. Yeah, you have quite a few movies to look forward to and shows. We have so much, but you'll be with us twice a week every day in 2020 or every week in 2020.
Absolutely, yeah. So once the new streaming stuff comes out, I mean, one of the ones I'm looking forward to initially in January is Picard on CBS All Access with Patrick Stewart, because I love Patrick Stewart.
Who
I love
doesn't?
His accent, and he says everything with such authority. Mm-hmm. It's just, I love the guy, and I love Star Trek, so I'm really looking forward to that. But many more shows coming this fall and
the
this
Vulcan
year.
Hand signal.
Yes, I know
my Star Trek. I grew up watching Star Trek. Yes, we were Star Wars fans too, but my dad is a major Trekkie. So I've been watching since the Captain Kirk days.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so we're going to get more of Captain Picard, at least, coming up here at the end of the month.
Well, good. That's all Trek is good for me. Tim is going to leave us in the next hour, unfortunately, but he'll be back on Friday to talk movies with us.
I will indeed. And there's a big one coming out called 1917, finally opening in theaters nationwide after getting a limited release on Christmas Day. So, yeah, looking forward to talking with you about that one.
And that's what you're going to see tonight.
Yes. The big screen is no better place for a film like this, especially.
So tonight is a special event at Temple Israel. No Hate, No Fear. It's an anti-Semitism event. Governor Walz joined me yesterday to talk a little bit about it because he will be addressing the crowd there. We will hear what he has to say about that and about the event tonight. That's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And JetBlue is going to become the first U.S.-based carbon neutral airline. We'll tell you how they're going to do it